Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spoiler warning. Ooh, I know there's a lot of people that haven't gotten around to watching Regarding Henry yet. So if you don't want that spoiled, we are spoiling the whole thing from that twist 15 minutes in all the way to the end. We are going to be talking about every plot point. So regarding spoilers, we're doing them. That's your spoiler warning. Otherwise, enjoy.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got trust the funk. I got one leg and a bucket of chicken.
Gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama. This is a podcast where each week myself and my friend Zach have a chat about something that John Leguizamo has been in. Who's John Leguizamo? How dare you ask such a question? John Leguizamo is the best character actor in the entire world, and we like to watch his movies and his TV shows and even his commercials. as you probably know by now...
Are you fucking it up now on purpose to make me feel better about myself?
That wasn't fucking it up. I thought that... I genuinely didn't... Excuse me?
Oh, no.
I just didn't... I forgot that I was on intro, so I was just fucking going
you
with it.
Ripping.
Did you think that that was a fuck up?
I think by, you know, Mish 3 months ago standards, you would have gone me for that intro.
No, I wouldn't have gone you for that intro because you would never have done that. What you would have done would have been like, hello, I'm Zach and... There's movies with John.
Good.
Mine was concise. It was to the point, and I even added your
it was
infamous
clear.
Michelle Brazier ha 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 at the end.
What's the infamous Michelle Brazier?
Michelle Brazier often ha 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 ha. She does it a bit.
Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah.
Anyway,
no. Carry on.
I didn't
I'm sorry.
Think that was a fuck up.
Oh, no, this is...
Now you've just told me I'm a fuck up.
Now we've gotten off to a bad start. No, I thought it was great. I thought it was wonderful.
Who would have thought that an episode of a podcast about the movie Regarding Henry could have been bad?
Didn't we learn anything? Why are we being so negative and
I'm not being negative.
No, I am. I'm being so negative. I've attacked you for the quality of your work.
Yeah.
When what I should learn to appreciate the simple things in life.
Hmm. Like
as
what?
I learnt in the film Regarding
Henry. Yeah.
Do you want me to just jump in? Do you want me to just do the intro?
I mean, we could. I didn't do the whole standard. I'm Mish from this. And
that's fine. That's fine. Because I interrupted.
Get ready for some very angry listeners.
Do you want to do it? Do you have one?
Nah, I've lost the flow. Now I just think I'm a piece of shit.
Oh,
And you've done that.
This negativity will not serve us well.
We're doing a live show tonight. And I'm going into it feeling really bad about myself because of you.
Oh, stop it. You've attacked every intro I've done for the last 2 years.
I haven't attacked.
You've said,
I have merely passed on messages from our loyal listeners.
I know that we get dozens of messages.
Dozens.
Dozens. And you always pick the one or two that serve your narrative.
It's true, and I'd like to do a quick shout out to everyone out there who serves my narrative every week. Thank you so much. I do read them and I do appreciate them.
I just want everyone listening to know that, you know, we're riffing. Me and Mish just had a great, like, hour and a half long D&M when we should have been recording the podcast. Mm. We had an hour long D&M just about life, all things.
Which is why I think, considering I opened up my heart to you for an hour and a half, the fact that you would open the podcast by criticizing me in such a way.
No, well, what
is so rude?
What I was trying to say is Mama and Papa aren't fighting, guys. No. We're not fighting. We were just riffing.
Mama and Papa just need a little bit of space.
No, Mama and Papa are in a really
Daddy's
good place.
Daddy's been sleeping on the couch because he snores, kids. And we're not actually, because they're fighting.
We're actually in a really good place. You know, and I just want to apologize to you, Mish. I want to apologize to our listeners, and I want to apologize to Tom, who has to edit this. We're not fighting. I just took a dig early on, and Mish is going to be funny about it for the entire podcast and tonight's live show.
Yep.
No. Mish, please carry on with your introduction.
As you might know, my name is Mish, and you might know me from such things as being deeply hurt by Zach Ruane's comments approximately 90 seconds ago.
Great, yeah.
And I'm joined, as always, by who I thought was my friend, Zach Ruane, who you might know from...
Zach Ruane, who you might know from...
Go on.
Doing a podcast with his... friend Mish, doing a podcast with a co-host who can dish it out with intro criticisms but can't take it. That's how you might know Zach.
Yeah.
Who's...
It's one of my deep flaws, actually. I'm very good at dishing it out, but I'm not so great at taking it.
We're two people that are good at dishing it out but not so great at taking it. Yeah. And I think that's always the roll of the dice with the Mish and Zach podcast. You know, it's I think our brand is fun, positivity, good times, unless one of us misunderstands the other person's comment and then just, is shitty about it for an hour.
Yeah, and then it's and then following that 1 hour of shittiness, it's about 4 hours of discussion as to what just happened and why we feel that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think that we could probably just launch into talking about
I'm feeling that. I you know.
Yeah,
why not? Because I'm really curious. Mish has stopped messaging me what she thinks of the movie as she's watching it.
That was a conscious decision after I watched this movie. I was like, I was so close to messaging you a one sentence of what I thought of this film.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I want to hold off because I'm interested to know what Zach thinks of this movie.
And I came in and before our hour and a half long discussion about, you know, the times we live in and all of the just big D&Ms, Mish said, what did you think of regarding Henry? And I said, Mish, let's save it for the podcast. So
save it for the
podcast. It's a real treat to not know what Mish thinks. And I really don't know what Mish thinks because me and Mish have quite different tastes sometimes in films, particularly of the 1990s variety.
It's true.
All right, here's my intro. It's pretty copy-pasted, but, you know, see how we go. In what can only be described as the most they really don't make movies like this anymore movie I've seen in the last 5 years, Regarding Henry is a mid-budget 90s drama that tells the story of Henry, played by Han Solo and Indiana Jones, a successful lawyer who has been afflicted with amnesia. He tries to rediscover his identity and career with the help of his wife and daughter. Johnny Legs plays the damn fool that shot him.
Wow, that was so concise.
Thank you.
That was good.
Thank you, Sam. And maybe a little too concise. I didn't talk about the fact that, like, the rebuilding. I thought I'd copy-pasted another thing. I thought I'd copy-pasted the Wikipedia. Clearly I copy-pasted the Google description.
Yeah, that was quite short. But very concise. I think you guys can all kind of get an understanding of what this movie was about.
So I'll actually say a little more. I feel like I wasn't clear enough. Basically, Harrison Ford, when Harrison Ford was doing dramas that, I don't know, very different time. They very, really don't. And I don't want to talk about that. Harrison Ford plays a slimy defense lawyer who's very, very wealthy. Mm. And he does it by, like, crushing the little guy. He gets shot in the head.
Think about Scrooge.
Think Scrooge.
Think Scrooge from a Muppet's Christmas
Carol. But a Scrooge that somehow got Annette Bening.
Yeah. I scored a 1991 Annette Bening. Yeah.
You know, so that's the sort of Scrooge we're talking about. Mm. So, and then he gets shot in the head by John Leguizamo in his film debut.
Let's just, no. Not his film debut. His film debut was Die Hard.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Let's just be very clear. When Zach said shot in the head, that's not a joke. Indiana Jones was shot in the head by Chichi Rodriguez in a convenience store.
And then he becomes all sorts of trying to win an Oscar. And then it's a whole story about them growing as a family.
Well, yeah, because he gets brain damage.
He gets very bad brain damage and also, like, motor damage. And it's about him finding himself.
And what's so interesting is that he used to be a cunt and it just took a bullet to the frontal lobe and all of a sudden, really nice man.
As a cunt with a fucked frontal lobe, I can say with authority that cunt or not cunt has nothing to do with frontal lobe.
No, no. My frontal lobe is so strong and full of cunt that not a bullet could remove said cunt. But in Harrison Ford's case, all it took was a little bullet to the brain and now he's a very nice person with ethics.
I will say my first thought, I've got a couple of thoughts, I've got a couple of little notes, not a lot, because I just watched it and I'm going to chat about it with you for an hour. But I will say up the top, Mish Witchrup, my first thought was, what a relief to have, unlike, what was the romantic comedy we watched a few weeks ago?
The one, the star's son.
Star
is also, the sun is also a star.
Sun is also a star featured a comparable amount of Johnny Legs, like maybe three times as much Johnny Legs. He maybe had three scenes.
I'd say quite a bit. I mean, if you actually think about how much Johnny Legs was in, is it Regarding Henry or Disregarding Henry?
Regarding Henry.
Disregarding
Disregarding Henry.
I wish it was Disregarding Henry. Johnny Legs had minimal amount to do with this film, except what an impact.
Well, I mean, he propelled the story forward. Mm. And we rarely see that in a Johnny Legs character. Johnny Legs often is there while the story propels.
Mm-hmm.
But he rarely is the impetus. But what I'll say is I reckon he did less than a week on both this and Sun is Also a Star. I think he did a day on this shooting or a night shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did maybe 3 days on Sun is Also a Star. What a relief, or how nice it is for me, considering the framing of this project, when that day of shooting is at the start of the film, not the end of the film.
Mm.
Because I was watching Sun is Also a Star and the whole time I'm just like, where the fuck is Johnny Legs?
Yes.
Why the fuck am I watching this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Where the fuck is John Leguizamo? These charismatic, beautiful leads are fine, but I can find charismatic, beautiful leads anywhere.
Mm.
I only want one charismatic, beautiful lead.
And that's John Leguizamo.
And that's John Leguizamo, and he's not in it. Whereas in this, he's in it 20 minutes in and then he's gone and it's like, I don't think we're seeing him again.
Well, yeah, I thought to myself like, oh my God, maybe he'll come back.
Maybe it'll be like, you know, they caught him.
Yeah, but that never, like I thought maybe there could be a scene in a jail between Harrison Ford and John Leguizamo. It's like, why'd you do this, man? You ruined my life. And Johnny Legs had been like, I'm just trying to get by on the streets.
Yeah, but no.
But no, that scene was, I don't know if it might have been cut. But I don't think it was written into the scripts by Mike Nichols.
No, J.J. Abrams wrote it.
J.J. Abrams wrote it.
He did a little white on
it. He did a little tiny whitey. And then Mike Nichols
directed
it. Okay.
Mike
Nichols, who also directed Ghost.
And The Graduate?
No.
Did I get that wrong?
I don't know, but Whoopi Goldberg cried heaps when Mike Nichols died.
Oh, that's sad. I love Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, same. We could talk about Whoopi Goldberg till the bloody...
Apparently she likes guns or something. Time I say I love Whoopi Goldberg, people are like, nah, I get a bit of a... Like, people are like, nah, she likes guns. And I'm just like, yeah, but she's really good at acting.
Yeah. Very smart.
Mike Nichols, Second City, what has he done? He did, I'm Googling him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a theatre director. He did Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh, yeah.
He did do The Graduate.
Well done, Zach.
It's literally because I Googled him last night when I started watching Regarding Henry.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm going to own that. I'm not sure.
Wait, did I get it wrong with the Mike Nichols? We should really do some more research, hey?
No, I think, what did he do? He did Wolf. He did Closer. Oh, I love Closer. No, actually, I don't think I do.
Closer is one of those movies where I believe it is as good as the original piece that was written, which was the play.
I don't know. I think I disagree. I think it feels like a play.
Well, maybe that's why I liked it so much. But to me, it is just as good as the play.
I think that it's...
I think the casting was superb.
Superb.
I honestly think that the movie Closer, I fucking lapped that shit up in my first year of acting school. Yeah. I loved the movie Closer.
Have you seen it since then?
No.
I don't know, because I haven't watched it in a long time either.
Yeah.
But from memory, it's a little, like, theatery, and it's not, like...
But I love theatre.
That's true. You love the written word.
I love the written word. Regarding Henry. We see John very, very early on, and then we don't see him again.
He's gone.
So we have the rest of the movie, which is not a short film. For a 1991 drama where they often ran for an hour and 20 minutes to an hour and a half, this was an hour and 50.
Yeah, I watched it in two parts. I watched the first half and then I fell asleep, and then I watched the second half this morning, which I think got in the way of it a little bit. I think it was really meant to be like a watch in one go, because there was lots of callbacks in the second half. I'd love to know what you thought of it, if you want to go down that path, Mish.
We can. I give Johnny Legs full credit for this, or this podcast. I have refound, what's the word? Rediscovered. I have rediscovered. I have refound my love for early 90s cinema.
Yeah, great.
Particularly with thrillers.
Yeah.
And horrors.
Yeah.
Love that. And I'll even lap up a delicious early 90s drama from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
So when we put – when it was set down on paper / in the Excel doc that we have created for this podcast that we were going to watch an early 90s drama called Regarding Henry, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's bring it on. I've never heard of it before.
Mm.
And I think I understand why.
Yeah.
I have never watched a movie that is so straight to VHS in my life.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Look, what a cast. And during – okay, this movie was made in 1991. Harrison Ford was very much an established actor.
Yeah.
So what a find. They then pull in Annette Bening, who was an established actor but not as famous as she is now. Delightful in the early 90s, right? Really easy to watch. Beautiful. I found this movie – for lack of a better word, dull.
It's
and considering if someone told me what it was about,
yeah,
and they said it's about Indiana Jones getting shot in the face in a convenience store,
yeah,
forgetting completely who he is, having no idea who Annette Bening is, even though they've been married forever, and he goes from being a total pure cunt to a lovely man in a polo shirt.
Well, he doesn't quite get there. That's one criticism. Like, oh, we're ending on him, like, still, like, I'm
still
like,
not a bit
this
sure.
Is still, like,
yeah.
There's a lot of journey that has to happen here.
That storyline is, like, so Mish at 9 p.m. on a Friday when she wants to just, like, fucking relax with a big cup of hot chocky.
Hot cup of Joe.
That's it. But I was just like, this is shit. And if I honestly believe, not shit, it was, no, it was shit.
You're allowed to say that. Right. I have decided my personal brand is always trying to find the positive in an artwork.
Yeah, but I don't have to do that.
But that doesn't have to be the Leguizamarama brand.
Okay, it's not that I thought it, like, no, truthfully, the best word, it was dull. It was very dull for what it was and for who they had, it was dull. Johnny Legs' scene was the most interesting, but also there was some, like, and I don't even care if it was made in the early 90s, there was some weird wavering ethical shit in this film as well. I just thought it was just odd.
And which is the ethical stuff?
The money stuff. And like,
yeah, I get that.
Like it was just, I just thought it was a bit dull. And I was like, oh, this could have been. And you could just, God, Harrison Ford wanted that Oscar. God, he wanted it. He thought this was his Oscar. At the very least, Golden Globe winning performance.
Mm.
And nah.
It's Well, you've given me so much to unpack there.
And I'd also like to
in
just,
my rebuttal.
Just very quickly, yeah, I'd also please. Like to add that it is very odd watching someone like deal with brain damage when it's Indiana Jones. I just don't think he did it very well. I'm just going to say that. I don't think he did it very well, and I'm backing it.
Wow, you really – I don't know. Oh, golly. Okay. So I almost need to take notes. That was such a big I don't want to say rant because it wasn't. It was very considered.
Mm-hmm.
It was a considered argument. I don't think I disagree. I think what I find really interesting about this film is, like, legit, like, they just do not make movies like that anymore.
No.
And I was like, often when I say that, right, it's often around thrillers and it's around, like, I'm like, they don't make movies like this anymore.
Mm.
But usually when I say that, it's like, yeah, but they do make TV series like that. This film, I don't think they make TV like this anymore.
I think that they do make movies like this, but they're those weird Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
That are on at midday.
But that's what I mean, is those movies existed then, right? Mm. What I'm talking about is a drama, a character-driven drama with good actors and a good director and aspiring writer that's not really going for the Oscar, yeah, except for Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford was.
Yeah, like it's really gunning. Only acting categories.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going for a screenplay Oscar. It's not going for – I don't think. It's just like this – and maybe I'm wrong, but it's like this mid-budget drama that's there – that's not trying to change the world and not trying to win awards and not trying to make a huge amount of money.
Mm.
It's just like it comes out. I don't know when it came out, but it's not in the big cinema.
Mm.
It's such a strange thing to watch
and
now.
Who would you go see this movie with? Like, let's just say hypothetically it comes out in the cinemas, right, regarding Henry. Is this something you go see with your partner? You don't take your kids. You go see it with your friends, or is this one of those movies you go and see by yourself?
Do you know what category – do you know what I think the closest thing to it now is? It's the things with, like, dames in it, like The Last Marigold Hotel. That's sort of the genre that has taken its place.
Safe and sad.
Just safe and not even that. Just, like, just
– really safe cinema.
Just, like, not nice, I guess. Like – it's hard to describe. It's a weird thing to watch. Like, it's a weird thing to watch this, like, drama. Like, for me, it's like you – like, now if you're making a drama, you're, like, doing it to win awards.
Mm.
You're doing it to, like, fucking shake shit up.
Mm.
Like, it's weird to see a drama that's not setting out to, like, fuck you. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does make perfect sense.
Like, it's not funny. It's not a funny movie.
Mm.
It's sweetly romantic, but it's not like romantic.
No, it's not a romance.
It's a drama,
mm.
But it's not like trying to hit you.
Do you know what it is?
Do you know what I mean?
No, this is what it is. It's when you go into a bookstore and there is a big wooden tub of $10 books. They're all just in there, random selection. You could stick your hand in really far and pull out regarding Henry. It's just one of those things that was written, maybe a Mills and Boone that kind of just went unseen. That's exactly what it is.
But also, like, DVDs, videos. Like, it was a video. Like, I could see, like...
It's the most straight-to-VHS movie I've ever seen.
But I would almost say, like, it's not even straight-to-VHS. For me, it's, like, what I would say is straight-to-Cinema 4, because both cinemas I ever worked at, right, there was seven cinemas... In both, well, one had 14, but on one side there was seven cinemas. There was a hallway. You came up, I ripped your ticket, and there was a hallway, right?
Did you let people in for free?
Friends and stuff?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Really?
No, they were way
what if
too
there
into
was?
It.
What if there was a group of bad boys that were going to see a movie? Would you check them all?
Do I check their...
Check it tickets?
I checked everyone's tickets.
What if they're like, I don't want to give you the ticket, little cunt?
I'd say, well, you can't come in.
What if they're like, we're coming in anyway?
I'd call security.
And what if they push? What if they push past you, ran?
I had that happen to me when I was 15 years old.
Yeah?
And I called security.
What if they cried?
I'd go, are you okay?
What if they were like, no, I'm really not, man. I'm having a really hard day.
I'd say, do you need me to call someone?
I'd just be like, I just need a hug.
Yeah, I'd give them a hug.
Would you?
Yeah, well then, yeah.
What if they were like, psych, cunt, and then they stole your wallet?
I wouldn't have my wallet on me on shift.
Like,
at most, they could steal my Eclipse mints.
They stole your Eclipse mints.
Those motherfuckers.
And then kicked you in the shins.
They're dead. They're dead to me.
Yeah, are they? Would you then call security again?
No, they're dead.
They're dead. You'd kill
last
them.
Thing I want is security finding out that I killed a rat bag kid.
Who stole your Eclipse mints.
Who stole my Eclipse mints.
And then what if their friends saw you kill them and they were like, hold on a
they're
second.
All dead. They're all dead.
You've
too.
Killed all
so
four
what I
of
would
them.
Do, what I would do is like they've stole my Eclipse mints. I elbow the first one in the face, right?
Okay.
I elbow
and then
so
they're like,
out. They're knocked like, out, right?
They're not dead though.
They're not dead yet. Because then.
Right in between the eyes?
Yeah. And then I get out my knife, which I'd be holding in my boot. I'd get out
so
my
you're not
knife.
Allowed to have your wallet on shift, but you can have a knife.
They don't know about the knife.
Oh, okay.
It's in my boot. Oh. It's in my Doc Martin boot. So I lift up my leg. I pull out
were
the
you wearing
knife.
Doc Martens at 15 too?
Yeah. The reason I wear Doc Martens now, this is an aside, but the reason I wear Doc Martens now is because when I was like 15, I was like, when I'm an adult, I'm going to have like a whole bunch of Doc Martens and I'm only going to wear Doc Martens and I'm going to be like, and I'm going to build my look around it. And it was my dream. I haven't done it yet, but I want to start doing
it. It's a 30-degree day and you're still wearing
Doc Martens. To have a collection of Doc Martens.
Yeah.
And it's my one little, I owe it to 15-year-old me. I'm like, yeah, man. I don't care. Ebbs and flows of fashion. I'm going to wear my Doc Martens.
Funnily enough, that's the same with me and my bleached hair.
Yeah?
That's the exact same thing because I wanted to bleach my hair. My mum was like, no, I'm not going to pay for a full – because I wanted white. I wanted like – I think Agnes Dean, when Agnes Dean was a big deal, I wanted Agnes Dean's hair. And I wanted to bleach it. Mum's like, you're not bleaching it. I'll get a bleach for you on your 18th birthday or some bullshit. And I was like, one day I'm going to have a fucking white blonde bob haircut. And I fucking did. And I've been dying at white blonde ever since, except for one stint where I went brunette for about 8 weeks and it was a big mistake.
I don't even remember that.
It was when I was in first year. I was living with you when I went brunette.
Oh, well, that's so long ago. Oh, my God, I'm getting a call.
Who is it?
How unprofessional, I don't know.
Oh.
It was anyway, a number I don't recognise. That's the worst thing I've ever done. That's the most unprofessional thing I've
ever
done.
I would say the worst thing you've ever done is kill a cunt for stealing your Eclipse mints. So you've elbowed his mate in the face. You've pulled a knife out of your dock.
I'm not feeling this as much anymore because we went on our little Doc Martin rant. But basically I was just going to describe like how I would kill every 12-year-old trying to sneak into a cinema.
All right. What would you like to talk about then, Zach?
Cinema 4. I'll just get because we were like we're so many
yeah,
layers.
Sorry,
deep.
I got very distracted.
No, I was guilty of this as well. So I've killed all the kids and then no. So Cinema 4, basically, you'd walk up and behind me was Cinema 7 and that's the big cinema, right? So that's the, like, straight behind me, that's where your avatars play, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was the first to go digital for
cinema
digital
7.
3D. Cinema 7.
Is that all the way at the back?
No, that's directly behind me. So
okay.
Imagine that you come up the stairs or you come down.
Right now I'm at Northland Cinema.
But I don't know what the layout of Northland Cinema.
All right. Do you want me to go back to the village you used to work at?
I'm trying to build for you because both villages I worked at had a similar layout. So I'm trying to build that. Oh, I do know Northland. It's different to Northland. Okay. So what it is you – this is hard to describe and I would draw a picture for you, but the listener needs to understand as well. It's very important. And I'll tell you why it's important because the cinema – I can come back to this. Once I've established this for you, I can come back to how I think about this. So you come up, right? You come up the hallway. You've been to the candy bar. What have you bought from the candy bar, Vish?
Is this 5 years ago when I was eating dairy or currently?
It was when I was at the cinema. So, yeah, you're eating dairy.
I get your Chocky Top.
Yeah.
I would get a Choc Top, vanilla probably. Call me boring, but it is the best Choc Top.
Yeah. We're talking about a very vanilla film, so it makes sense you'd get
exactly.
a vanilla Choc Top.
I would get a Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was at the movies with someone, which I probably would be, because I've only ever seen one movie my whole life by myself in a cinema. Fun fact.
That's really interesting. I went to the cinema on my own last
week. I would do it. I just have so many people who want to join me all the time. Yeah. Anyway, and then we would split a popcorn.
Yeah, great. Okay.
So I have my own Choc Top, my own Diet Coke, and I'm splitting a popcorn with either a boy I might be on a date or with a friend.
So either a toxic chef type.
Yes.
Or a bitchy old girl school person that you don't.
Those are the people in my life. Zach's right. I dated a lot of toxic chefs. And a lot of my friends are bitchy private school girls. So.
And a lot of good private school girls as well. Yeah. I'm just painting a picture. All right, so you walk up the hallway, mm-hmm. right? And there's a boy, devilishly handsome, like a young Johnny Depp. Oh. And then he goes on break and then Doc Chubby Martins? Zach walks up. Anyway. You walk up the hallway.
You weren't chubby when you worked at Villain.
I've been up and down. I worked at Village for a long time. So you walk up the hallway and there's a little lectern and there's a little like stand there and I am wearing a little vest and I greet you. I'm like, welcome. You know, can I have you, see your tickets, please? All right. Then how this works is... this is the lamest shit I've ever said. And then directly behind me, right?
It's Cinema 7.
It's Cinema 7. So what it is it's not you're not at the front of a hall when you come to me. You're kind of at like a
door.
Like an opening. And then the hallway runs at a 90-degree angle to your – you've come up – you've come down a hall.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a cinema hall. You've come down and then a 90-degree angle to that. You either turn left or you turn right.
I've got it. Yep. Right? I'm there.
Directly behind me, the wall behind me, is Cinema 7.
Great.
That's the big cinema.
Yeah. That's right? Titanic.
That's Titanic.
That's Ben-Hur.
That's, well, Ben-Hur was in the days of the single screen picture palace, but yes.
But we're talking, yes.
Yes. That's Ben-Hur. That's... Godzilla.
Yeah.
Roland Emmerich's 1997 Godzilla.
Yep.
That's the Harry Potters.
Beautiful.
On week of release.
Well, did you work during the Harry Potter releases?
Many of them,
was
yes.
Was it full on?
Trying to think of the most full on movies. Harry Potter's would be...
Avatar.
Avatar was a slow burn. And I wasn't working during Avatar. I was just told about Avatar.
Oh, okay.
The thing about Avatar was, here's an interesting fact about Avatar, is it was the earliest days. It had to be projected digitally for the 3D. And everyone was seeing it in 3D. And because it was the earliest days of 3D, it could only be shown in a limited number of cinemas. Most cinemas had only converted one cinema to 3D.
Mm.
So it played in one cinema. It played in the Cinema 7 mm-hmm. for months.
Here's a fun fact, listeners. If you are hardcore Mission Zach fans, you'll remember Zach having told that story back in Recaps days.
Did I?
Yes, mate.
You need to call me out like at the start of that story. Because I get shit on the Donner podcast. I've retold the same Heston Blumenthal fact so many times that people now call me
What's
out
the
on
fact?
It. He's not balding. He shaves his head because it's hot in the kitchen and now it's this look. But he's not balding, unlike every other bald man.
You've also told that story on Recaps.
Yeah. I tell it a lot.
Go on.
So, behind me is Cinema 7, mm-hmm. right? To the right...
Mm-hmm.
is Cinema 8 and also The Offices, but that's irrelevant.
Okay, yes.
So to the
Who's
right.
Who's in The Offices?
Well, it actually depends because The Offices are downstairs if you're at Jam Factory, but if you're at Morwell, they're down that hallway.
So in Morwell, what are the names of the people that you'd usually see in The Office?
The management. And there was a lot of managers. I was there for a long
would
time.
You, could you go in there comfortably?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I would go to get my cash.
Oh, okay. So if you walked in there, they wouldn't be like, Zach, what are you doing in here?
They'd be like, hey, do you need your float for the candy bar?
Yeah.
And I'd say, no, I'm working floor today. And then they'd go, oh, okay. We'll just sign in and get started. You're 15 minutes late, by the way. Don't do that again. I'll be like, I'm sorry. And I'd be like, okay. Also, you smell. Cinema 8 is... To your right, my left. To your right is Cinema 8. Cinema 8 is...
I will pay someone to draw what Zach is describing, by the way. This is so fucked.
This description?
Yeah.
It's too detailed.
No, it's great, but it's so detailed that someone could literally, not knowing Morwell Cinema, draw a full floor plan.
Mm. And that's what I want.
Hmm.
The challenge is... so the
Give Zach what he wants, listeners.
Cinema 8 is quite a small cinema in both Morwell and
Jam Factory. So is that the movies that have been out for a long time?
Yes. That's where I would think you're seeing a Harry Potter after
2 months,
right? Yeah.
You know, it's just like it's still playing because there's still smatterings of people, but that's a Cinema 8, okay? Then you've got a Cinema 6.
Next to 8.
No. 8's a very short.
Tiny cinema.
Short hallway.
Yeah.
There's not much down. There's not much to your right.
Okay.
To your left is really where
this is
the money is made.
To the left is Cinema Town.
So next to Cinema 7.
Yeah.
Is, what do you think it's going to be, Mish?
I reckon it's going to, well, okay, so we've had 8, we've had 6.
No, we haven't had 6.
You just said 6 before.
Yeah, it's to the, yeah, oh, that's so it. It's 6.
Yeah. What colour are the walls?
Oh, I can't remember. Red, probably.
Oh, cute. Are there pictures of superstars on the walls?
No, they got rid of the pictures of superstars. That's more 90s when they were really getting behind.
I loved that.
My favourite thing in the world was Jam Factory had this wall of celebs.
I know it, yeah.
And they would have all the names of celebs. And it, the funniest thing is it was made in the 90s. So there's an attempt when you're building a wall of celebs that's going to be around for 20 years to be timeless.
Mm-hmm.
So you go back to like your Audrey, there's like Audrey Hepburn and ra-da-da and like these and Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. But then, like Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, like Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts. And they just picked, and it's like those people are still big.
Yeah.
But it's weird to put Arnold Schwarzenegger next to Clark Gable.
Yeah.
Like maybe Tom Hanks.
Were you that little shit who used to like say who they were? Like when I was younger.
I'm still that little shit that says. I've built an entire side project so I can tell my friend Mish shit while people have listen. I don't know.
This might come as a big shock to you, Zach, but I too was that kind of little shit who would like be like, I know who this is. I know who this is. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Especially the oldie ones because I was really good at those because I'm sure I've told this story before. But my mum like jammed MGM musicals down my throat.
No, you did. I don't think you have. Or I have forgotten and I have bad memories. So.
My mum essentially forced me from a very young age to watch every MGM musical made before 1960.
So you're talking like the old...
Old classic That's Entertainment stuff, yeah.
Wow. So I haven't seen many of them. I've seen Singing in the Rain, but that's about it.
To the point where when I was like 13 years old, my special subject for any kind of like quiz show would have been MGM musicals before 1960s. I'm probably a bit rusty now, but I'm still very good.
Wow.
Yeah, so
did you watch the like the reviews where there were just songs without stories or are you talking more really?
Mostly the films, but my mum had all of them on VHS, not all of them, but she had quite a few. But my grandmother really liked them too. So when I would stay with my grandmother, we'd rent 5 weeklies for 10, but they were always like old MGM musicals.
Like what are we talking? Throw out a few.
Like the Singing in the Rains and stuff like that, yeah. But we've also got your Brigadoons, we've got your Summer Stocks.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got Annie Get Your Gun, all of those old musicals.
That's amazing.
And here's a fun fact. Shirley Temple was never in an MGM musical.
Because
she was owned by Paramount. So really they and they wanted Shirley for Wizard of Oz. They wanted her really bad, but they couldn't get her. So I've seen all the Shirley Temple musicals as well because my grandmother really liked those too. Wow. But they were never MGM. Anything with Ava Gardner, Ann Miller, Fred Astaire, Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman, Fred Astaire.
That's very funny.
I
did not know this about you. That's really great.
You know how you're like really into zombie films?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. And I'm really glad for it now because like I know all this bullshit about like Mickey Rooney. But that was what my mum was really into them. So I used to like.
I love Singing in the Rain, but that's Singing in the Rain and maybe West Side Story. And West Side Story is more contemporary than what you're talking about.
No, West Side Story is like before West Side Story.
West Side Story was kind of a shift to naturalism.
The guy who played the head of the sharks in the West Side Story was in a smaller film, although it probably wasn't that small when it was made, which would have been like late 30s, early 40s, called Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
I know about this musical, about like how, it's very funny. Yeah. There's a thing on TikTok about like what's your bad feminist take and there were people that were like, I really like Seven Brides.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's my bad feminist take is that I'm really into a lot of those movies where men slap women who are crying.
Steal them and, that's great. That's a really interesting fact. Yeah, because Singing in the Rain is probably... Like, I know about them, but I really haven't seen many of them.
I'll get you into a couple of really good ones.
Yeah.
I made Annie watch the, you know, Quentin Tarantino, how he has a cinema in LA?
Yes.
I can't remember what it's called. The New Beverly. We went and watched Singing in the Rain at the cinema.
Hey.
And it was really fun.
Yeah, it's so
really
much fun.
And it's great to watch on the cinema. It's like, there, like, that's a phenomenal film. Like,
Oh, yeah.
He's like an athlete.
Gene Kelly. Yeah, but so's Donald O'Connor.
Yeah.
The one who can run up walls.
Yeah. It's like The Matrix. It's literally, I'm pretty sure The Matrix.
Well, how funny is it as well that now, like, what is sexy is, this is such, oh my God. Now what is sexy for 15-year-old girls is 15 to 18-year-old boys on TikTok doing shitty dances and kissing their biceps. But back in the fucking 40s and 50s, it was men who could tap dance.
Yeah, it was the same.
Like, it was the sexiest thing was, like, if you were a good tap dancer, then you were fucking set. And one of the things with Judy Garland that MGM had such an issue with and that Hollywood had such an issue with was that she was so talented. She was this amazing singer and she could act beautifully, but she couldn't dance.
Yeah, wow.
But everyone wanted her in movies with Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire, so they had to make it work. But she wasn't a dancer, whereas Gene Kelly was like... Ridiculous.
It's literally when you watch that, like, I think I heard somewhere once that, who's the director? It's a funny one. The guy who did Transformers.
I have no idea.
Transformers and, like, Bad Boys and...
You're better at this than me.
Oh, come on. He's, there'll be... listeners that are like, oh, like shouting his name. It's silly how I can't think of his name. And he did Armageddon. He's like the dumb action director.
I have absolutely no idea what you're
Michael
talking
about. Michael Bay.
Oh, Michael Bay.
I'm pretty sure I heard that one of Michael Bay's favourite films or a film that he takes a lot of reference from. I think it's been kind of twisted. I think like he watched, but one of his big influences is West Side Story. And it's really interesting because at first you're like, oh, that's crazy. And then, and I've talked about musicals and action on this podcast, but like, and I think I've said that fact, oh my God, but you really see it, particularly when you watch the relationship between action and musicals. I've talked about in terms of the rhythms of the storytelling, action sequence and songs are kind of interchangeable in terms of what they do for story. But also like the... particularly the dancey ones, like the focus on the body and like the, God, I sound like a feminist film student.
The focus on the body.
The focus on the male body, like the like muscularity of Gene Kelly.
It's the being able to dance like that without looking like you're trying.
Like, it's incredible.
Yeah. Fred Astaire was particularly good at it.
At the not trying.
As in like the looking like you're not trying. Do you know, like, Fred Astaire?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Fred Astaire was a bit older than Gene Kelly, but they were the two hot. That was Leo and Matthew.
Yeah. Like,
back in the day. And Fred Astaire had this amazing ability to look like he wasn't trying.
Yeah.
Like it was the easiest thing. He could hold conversations while he's doing like the most ridiculous stuff.
That's
and
incredible.
He would dance heaps with Ginger Rogers. That was his dance partner for a very long time in a bunch of movies because they just churn out movies back then.
Yeah,
so there was
yeah.
a series of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movies and he would get all this credit. And Ginger Rogers did exactly what Fred Astaire would be doing, but backwards.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
The women, the men got all this credit and the women did the same thing, but backwards and in heels.
And when she famously says as well, like Fred Astaire was so hardworking, she would go home with bleeding feet.
I can't remember her name. The actress said the same thing about Gene Kelly.
Which one?
The actress in Singing in the Rain.
Debbie
Princess Reynolds. Leia's mum.
Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds said the same thing. Like he was like a monster apparently, like a monster in how hard he like pushed.
Jesus Christ.
In how hard he pushed.
Yeah.
But you see it. I mean, like you said, the running up the walls and shit in that. Yeah, wow. That's a fun fact about
I'll send you. There you go. I'll send you, not you listeners, unless you ask for them and then I can send you some
stuff
too.
I'll do a post. Tell me by posting it on our Instagram.
All right, sure. I will send you some of my favourite bits and pieces. But yeah, no, that's just, I don't know why I haven't mentioned that before, but I guess that was my first big introduction to cinema. Fun
fact. Yeah, that's great.
And I've revealed it on the Regarding Henry podcast.
Yes.
But no, like, you know a lot about zombie films and you took a particular interest in those.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always had, because it was forced upon me as a child, but I've always had an interest in early MGM musicals. Yeah.
That's very fun. That's a really interesting thing.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So you turn left from Cinema 7 and there's Cinema 6.
So you turn left. Cinema 6 is also big. It's not Cinema 7 big, but it's it's pretty damn big.
Yep.
Cinema 6, for reference, would also be playing Titanic.
Oh, okay. So far we're saying that Cinema 7 and Cinema 6, they're your big boys.
They're your big boys. And a film as big as Titanic, you might get for a cinema, you might get two reels back when it was physically projected. Mm-hmm. You might get two sets of it, because it was a physical thing that you got mailed on the Monday and then you stitched it up and so you would get that. You might get two, but that would be the absolute most you'd get at our cinema, right? So back then there was a real limit to how many times a film could play.
Does that mean that you could play Titanic at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock even though the 2 o'clock session hasn't finished yet?
Yeah.
Great. Love that for Morwell.
Yeah, but that's rare. Usually if a movie is 3 hours long, that's why it was such a surprise that Titanic made so much money, because it was 3 hours long, and that limits the amount of times it can play in a day because there's only one reel of it.
So Cinema 6 essentially has its fingers crossed that you're getting two reels.
Cinema 6 is crossing your fingers. This is an irrelevant piece of information, but they did have the ability at a stretch to string the film from Cinema 6's projector, have it like carry, because it... people imagine the bio box, the box upstairs, to be a separate room per cinema. It's actually its own hallway above the hallway I just mentioned.
So they could play from Cinema 6 straight into Cinema 7.
The film would like reel through and like trundle along the roof and then also project in Cinema 7.
Morwell Cinema, you cheeky bitch.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. So where's 5?
5. I don't think 5's ever going to be useful for you. 5's medium.
So is that where Regarding Henry is?
No. I think Regarding Henry...
Are we talking that Cinema 5 now is more like a Colin Farrell film?
Cinema 5... Cinema 5 is week 3 of Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
You know, Cinema 5 is, like a Colin Farrell sort of action if... You've got a Titanic or a big... If you've got a Spider-Man out that week and you've also got a Colin Farrell film, you're probably putting that in a 5 or maybe a 6 if, you know...
Great.
If Colin Farrell's lucky enough that you only got one reel of Spider-Man, one...
Yep.
You know? So that's what 5 is. 5 is like your...
So is this hallway all the cinemas are on the same side, or is it like... 4 to the left, 5 to the right.
Okay, so that's a great question, Mish. That's a really good question. So what you've got is, so you come up to me, you turn left, all right?
Yeah.
And basically, you walk down, the first cinema to your left is Cinema 1.
I thought the first cinema, hold on, you just said the first cinema to your left.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Is Cinema 6.
You've already turned left. Yeah, I understand the issue here. Okay, yeah, and that's why we're going into such detail.
Hmm.
So, okay.
We can stop here.
No. I don't think we can.
So you have to go all the way to 1.
I think I have to finish this.
Meanwhile, there's candy bar downstairs.
You've come into the... So you come up. Behind me is 7.
Stairs or escalator?
Are we talking Morwell or are we talking Jim?
Morwell. We've been talking Morwell since the start.
I've been talking both. They're pretty close, very similar.
Well,
to each
I'm
other.
Thinking Morwell.
Okay, Morwell. No stairs.
Okay.
There's some stairs up to the door of the cinema.
Cute.
And then there's a candy bar, And then you sort of turn down into the hall and then you approach me and then there's the hall of cinemas.
Cool.
All right.
And you've just killed a bunch of cunts.
And I've just killed a bunch of cunts.
Yeah.
But I'm hiding them behind a standee, which is those big cardboard.
Or you could posters. Be hiding them in cinema fucking five.
Yeah.
Because no one goes in there.
People go to cinema five.
You said it was like a fucking nothing cinema.
It's a nothing cinema for purposes of illustration. So okay. The reason why I'm saying
I couldn't hide
this,
four dead bodies in there.
I wouldn't confidently hide a dead body in any of the cinemas if I was going
to
hide a
You'd
dead body.
You'd have to also cross the office with the dead bodies.
Yeah, if I was going to hide dangerous. A dead body, and we'll get to the reasons why, I would hide it in either eight or four.
Okay.
I would probably
well,
hide
I just,
it in four.
I did realise that if you're trying to carry these dead bodies to cinema five, you're crossing the office where they're counting the float. They could very easily see you.
The office is down by eight.
Okay. I thought the office was next to seven.
No, it's down by eight.
Okay, sorry.
I knew I was building a bad image.
Oh, that's right. You said at the Jam Factory the office was upstairs.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I've gotten confused between Morwell and Jam Factory now.
So no, the office is downstairs.
Okay.
At Jam Factory.
Oh, fuck.
Morwell, the office is to your right. So you
guys, come in. If you're still with us, please comment on something. Hashtag Jam Factory or Morwell.
Hashtag.
So many people have dropped off at this point.
I know.
This is purely for us now, and you don't even
listen
back.
I don't think
back.
It's for you.
This is purely for you. I'm giving you this gift. No one else is listening. Hashtag Jam Factory or Morwell.
But I'm doing all of this to make a really good point. Okay. I promise you.
Is it about regarding Henry?
Yeah. It right. is regarding. Well, regarding Henry?
I'm just going to let you keep going then, and I'm not going
to
interrupt.
Trust me, it's a really good point. But you need to seek clarity. If I'm being unclear in my description,
yeah,
it has to be clear. You have to understand the layout of the cinema for my point okay. to work.
But you also have to tell me why you would hide a body in eight or four.
Yes, and we'll get to that.
But I think we should get to the regarding Henry point first.
Okay, so you walk up. I'm there ripping tickets, right?
Yeah.
To your left.
Yeah.
Right? You turn left, you start walking down the hall. Does this make sense?
Yes.
You've turned like a 90-degree left angle into the Hall of Cinemas.
Yes.
Now that you're walking down the hall, the first to your left is yes. Cinema 1. Does that make sense?
Now that you're walking down the hall, the first to your left is Cinema 1. Yes. Yeah.
The second to your left is Cinema 2.
Makes sense.
The third to your left is Cinema 3.
Yep.
Then this is where it might get a little confusing. The last to your right is Cinema 4.
Okay.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
Sort of across
so
the hall
like
from three.
So it's kind of like we're counting in a U shape.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
of
you
course.
Turn
That's
around
not that confusing. One, I'm not a
two,
dumb bitch.
Three. No, but I think I was confusing by telling you about seven behind me.
Yeah, that was weird.
So it's one, two, three. Then last to your right it's is four. Then and then now you've gone. Now let's go back. To the start.
We're walking back towards Zach.
We're back to Zach.
Oh, we're back at Zach.
All right. Now you walk up to me again. I'm just explaining again. You turn left down the hall of cinemas, all right? The one we've done, doing the same move. Mm-hmm. The first to your right is Cinema 6.
Yep.
The second to your right is Cinema 5.
Mm-hmm.
The last to your right is Cinema
4. Cinema 4.
Come back with me, Mish.
Okay, back towards Zach.
Back to Zach. Behind me?
Yes.
Is Cinema 7.
Yes.
Now, back to Zach.
Mm-hmm.
You turn right into the hall.
Yes.
And just a little bit down the end of the hall, to your left, is Cinema 8.
Okay.
Do we have an image of this hall?
Yes. Why does 8 get a special spot?
I don't know.
Yeah, but Cinema 8 didn't necessarily show the best films. That's where you'd hide dead bodies.
Because it's a later end
Did you
run. I saw a pair of panties there once.
Bitch. Did you ever steal snackies from the candy bar?
Oh, yes.
So you're allowed to do that?
No.
But you would?
I would have, like, little popcorns.
Yeah. Little lollies from candy bar?
I wouldn't. Do you know what I'll tell you where my ethics lay with stealing food. It was if it was packaged, mm-hmm. I didn't take it. If it was like individually wrapped, I didn't take it.
Mm.
But a fountain Coke, a bit of popcorn, who's counting?
Mm.
the management, they were, and they'd be like, there's not enough popcorn.
Yeah.
And we'd go, tee-hee-hee.
So everyone was doing it. It wasn't just Zach.
Well, yeah, one guy got suspended for 2 weeks because he had a Coca-Cola after a busy couple of sessions.
That's so rough. Is this at Morewell or Village?
I'm not going to name names because I want to tell more of the story, and it gets... The guy that suspended him got in a bit of trouble for some other stuff, and it was very, like, karma.
Oh, I love that stuff. I love, like, work dramas.
Oh, it was, and it was, like...
So, Zach...
It was good stuff.
Now that you've built the cinema in our little brains, the fuck's that got to do with Regarding Henry?
So Cinema 4 is all the way down the end of the hall.
To the right.
And it's very small. It's the smallest.
Fitty people?
Yeah, yeah, I'd say so. Like, okay. It's around that size.
How big is the Lido Cinema, the one that we do
our show? That's like 250? 200, 300.
Oh, okay. So like a good quarter the size. That's small.
Very small, right? It's the smallest. Mm-hmm. It's
like a Nova Cinema.
Yeah, it's not quite Nova small, but very small for a village.
I love Nova Cinema, and that says something because I had a mouse run across my feet once at Nova Cinema.
Well, that happens.
Yeah, but that's the beautiful essence that is Nova
Cinema. People would always come out. I shouldn't say this, but... Cinemas have mice because you're eating popcorn out of little paper boxes with holes in it. Cinemas have mice, and people always come out and they're like, there was a mice. There was a mouse.
There was a mice.
There was a mouse. And I go, what? Oh, my God, where? That was what you'd do. You'd be like, oh, my God, where was the mouse? I'll get right on it. Just like, of course there's a fucking mouse.
Yeah.
Stop trying to fight nature.
Yeah.
Like, we're scattering savoury treats on the ground. That's why the Astor has a cat, traditionally. Because old cinemas used to have cats because...
You catch them. That's so cool.
You would just have a cat. You just have a pet cat that wanders around the cinema, catches the mice.
I love that.
And you can't do that in the big, like, the big proper cinemas. It's a bit of a... But it's like, they would spend so much money on, like, just... Like, they just had an exterminator. I think this is, like, an industry secret. Lucky no one listens to this podcast and everyone gave up. Yeah, they would have, like, an exterminator on, like, on... You know how exterminators are, like, someone you call in when there's a problem? Cinemas would just have the exterminator on contract. Like, every Monday the exterminator would come and do a round of trying to get rid of mice. Mice in cinemas is just a thing. And everyone would tell me, like, you know, like you just did, like, you know, once in this cinema I saw a mouse. I'm like,
yes, cunt.
You just saw a mouse. Yeah, there's a lot of mice.
It makes sense, actually. I never thought about it like that.
It's just a thing. That's why they have cats. Anyway, Cinema 4 is very small. 1, 2, 3 are quite small. 5 is medium. 6, 7, very, very big. 8, let's go, like, medium small.
Okay.
Halfway between small and medium. 4 is the smallest. At both Jam Factory and Morewell, there were, like, very legitimate sounding rumors that it was haunted. They're like, yeah, a guy died in there and Cinema 4 is haunted because it's the small one down the end of the hall. Like, it's only the very last end of the run for a big movie, but usually it's just the small movies. The point, the reason why I've described this over 45 minutes was to say, I don't think Regarding Henry is a straight to VHS sort of movie. I think it's more of a straight to Cinema 4 movie.
Oh my God. That's so fucked what you've just done. Oh, my God.
Because you said it was like a straight-to-video movie.
Yeah, I said that to start our conversation about Regarding Henry, and then you've spent – how long has it been?
It's been like – yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, talking about sometimes Morewell Cinema.
Yeah.
Sometimes Jam Factory.
Like, it's true of both cinemas. So I would say – but do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know what you're saying.
Like, I would say, like, Regarding Henry, well, that's straight to Cinema 3 or 4. Maybe 1 and 2. Maybe 1. 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know what you're saying. It's made me want to go to the movies, though.
Yeah.
What you've just described has made me want to go see a movie.
And it makes me want to go to 1, 2, 3, or 4. It makes me want to go to an empty cinema. I watched.
Oh, my God. I love an empty cinema. I went and saw The Dry.
Yeah.
Very good movie. Empty cinema.
I went and watched.
It was my partner and I. We walked into the cinema, Nova Cinemas. Mm-hmm. We sat down. We're like, fuck yeah, we're the only ones in the cinema.
And then.
We're going to have sex. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then, right as the fucking ads were running, this couple come in and sit directly in the row in front of us.
When I went.
And we couldn't fuck.
When I went and watched me.
Just quickly, I would never fuck my partner in an empty cinema, to be clear.
That's fair. When I went and watched the Star Wars cartoon, remember when they released the Star Wars cartoon at the cinema?
Yes.
When I went and watched that, I watched it with some friends and we were like, oh, my God, it's going to be an empty cinema.
Mm.
Awesome, because we can just chat, because this is not a movie that, like, this is three episodes of a television show.
Mm.
And same thing.
Mm.
I was just like, this is going to be great. We can just put our feet on the seats and talk.
Yeah.
And then the guy that came in, like, clearly looked like he just loved Star Wars. And I was just like, I don't want to ruin this for this guy. So.
That's annoying.
I also watched that Mark Wahlberg working at a bar, but then he has a crack at American football and then joins a team movie.
I don't know what that is, but I think I've seen it.
Yeah, one of them.
Like, it's one of those movies, I'm sure.
It's a straight-to-cinema, cinema two, cinema three kind of movie. Great. See? Like, I feel like I'm really – I think it's a valuable piece of, like, shorthand that we
But that's
now.
Also assuming that anyone who ever listens to this podcast has listened to the Regarding Henry episode through to the end.
Well, we tell them to go back. Whenever I say, oh, I think that's a straight-to-cinema one movie.
Go back to Regarding
Henry. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back to Regarding Henry. Trust me, it's worth it. I think this is a valuable shorthand. Because we'll say, like, what are we watching next week, for example? Do you know? Do we know yet?
No.
Say, but, like, you'd go, just chuck me a movie we've watched in the last, on this
Whispers in the Dark.
Whispers in the Dark. That's it. That's a cinema three. That's a cinema five on a good week.
First Ice Age.
That would be a seven or a six. Yeah. Because it's holiday time. Because it's the holidays, it would be released during the holidays, and my God, that's a six or a seven, and that's a busy session.
The Sun is Also a Star.
Four. Mm. Four or eight, if at all, but four.
Really?
Yeah, that's straight to the...
I think you are not considering the popularity of that film with young audiences.
Okay, then three. It's not getting to a five, a six, or a seven.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, no.
What about Tu Wong Fu?
Oh, that was a long time ago. Five. That was a pretty popular film.
That's a pretty popular film.
Probably a five, yeah. Yeah, like a chef, I think, could make
What about it. The Counselor? God, it wants to be seven.
Yeah, no, that's a one, two, or a three.
That's a straight to DVD film.
That's, oh, no, do you know what? That's the big cinema at Nova, but at a Village, that's a one, two, three.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like that's... That's what it is it's the big cinema at Nova for the first week and then a very quick downgrade to a little, you know, like, oh, wow, that's not doing as well because of the reviews and stuff. They would have scheduled it for the big cinema and then, like, straight to the small cinema. Like, that's a really quick jump.
Anyway, this
Pan's Labyrinth was cinema three. That's where I watched Pan's Labyrinth.
I fucking love that movie
That's
so
a cinema
much.
Three, you know what I'm saying? I One, two, three saying. Is really where you're getting the good
Del
stuff.
Del Toro movies seem to be going to three, I feel. Shape of Water, though, that would have been a seven.
No, that's a one, two, or a three.
Oh, really?
You know,
The Shape of Water was the Nova Cinemas movie.
Yeah, so big cinema at Nova, but at a Village or a Hoyts, it's in a one, two, three. You know, that's they're the good size. They're not tiny.
Mm.
They're good size, but they're...
I hear what you're saying.
Dread, I watched in cinema 2, and then it went to cinema 4 pretty quickly, quite
This is
sadly.
Great, Zach.
Yeah.
But I do feel we need to move on.
To Regarding Henry?
Maybe. And, moving on to what we have to do with the rest of our days now.
Yeah, no, I have wasted the entire podcast.
Yeah.
Did you have any final thoughts on Regarding Henry before we give it a...
There's one thing I want to say about Regarding Henry.
Is it clear that my thoughts on it being a cinema 3 or 4 movie?
I 100% understand what you mean by that.
And I'm glad you wouldn't have. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm the one who cops the shit in the DMs, Zach.
It's because you read them. Don't read the DMs.
I'm telling you right now, I promise you that at least 75% of the people who started this episode aren't listening anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
We've lost listeners, Zach.
I never listen. I love big, long, rambling podcasts and not listening to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fine. This is the kind of... If put it this way, regarding Henry, this episode will always be the kind of episode you have on in the background while you're cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But what's important is we now have a... Really, what it is I thought the punchline of how little I needed to tell you to convey my cinema 4 point.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a better payoff.
No, I think it was great. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
I thought the idea of spending a really, really
I do want a visual. So if someone is willing to draw that, that would be really great for me so I can see the visual in front of me.
I can take you to Jam Factory. We can go watch a movie at Jam Factory.
I'd love to do that, actually. That'd be really nice.
Yeah.
I have one thing to say about regarding Henry that I do think is important, that I do think is a really, 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 important thing to note in our podcast. Mm-hmm. I believe, and maybe I could be proven wrong, this is the last of the Baby Legs movies, because I think the year after was Whispers in the Dark, which was Sexy Luigi.
So do you think he was Baby Legs in this film?
Absolutely. He was not Sexy Luigi in this film.
Oh, look, it was so quick. I need to actually go back.
It was fleeting, but it's Baby Legs. It's very, very Miami Vice. It's Baby Legs. Here, I'm going to show you a quick photo that I saved.
Yeah, no, because I'm like...
That's him there.
Oh, yeah, that is Baby
it's
Legs.
It's Baby Legs. But the following year, we have Whispers in the Dark, which both of us, along with our very good friend Ree Down, discussed as one of the sexiest movies ever made, ever in history.
I've just decided, Mish, that you're going to get back into writing soon. Mm-hmm. You're a great writer. You wrote a play. And I've just decided you should write a sexy thriller. The sexy thriller.
I'd write an excellent sexy thriller.
I think you should write a sexy thriller.
For cinema?
Maybe start it for stage. That's easier to get it up.
I could do a great stage sexy thriller.
Oh, that'd be really fun.
Would you direct it?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I'm not going to commit, but, bring me the script and we'll see if we can make it work.
Zach, how many Leguistamos do you give regarding Henry?
He's hardly in it.
I know.
But he moves the plot forward.
Yes, he does. He shoots Indiana Jones in the head.
But I liked the movie a lot more before he shot him in the head.
Same.
I will say I really, really was enjoying the film up until he gets shot in the head.
I agree with you.
Because it's really interestingly written.
Very 1991.
Very 91, but also really some of the most efficient character setup I've ever seen.
Mm.
It comes in on the last bit of his closing statement of a court case. You know nothing about the court case. You know nothing about the people that are being but you know everything. Like he's victim blaming, he's you know, even though there's no one saying this about him, you know that he's doing a bad thing.
Yeah.
And then, he tells off his – it cuts to, the after-work drinks, and then it cuts to him telling off his daughter about something, and then it cuts to – and it's really, really good, efficient, character setup. Some of the best I've seen, I would say.
Some of the best you've seen.
Some of. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, we had a lot of story in the first 20 minutes, and yet it wasn't rushed. Yeah, no, that makes a good point.
It was like a masterclass in how to show, not tell.
Yes.
I knew everything about him and his world. When he goes out for dinner with the friends and there's one moment where he's like, you really got to buy a boat. And it's like, oh, they're fake friends. Oh, they're this, they're this, they're that. You know everything about his
situation. Yeah, you know he's a rich cunt without him being like, hey, I'm a rich cunt.
Yeah, it's so well done.
He built the relationship with his daughter really well because him and his daughter have a really hostile relationship. But then when he gets shot in the face, the daughter... that likes him again, and then they
there
get
was a lot
well.
To talk about. I'm so sorry about the whole of cinemas thing.
No, that's fine.
Because there's a lot. It's really what I'll say one thing. It's really weird how much this is like a redemption arc story, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he's still on a long road to recovery by the end of the film.
Oh, yeah, he's got ages to go.
And, everyone's like, oh, he's good now. And it's like, this guy is still, struggling to, talk.
Mm.
He's got such a big journey to go. and like this movie, it's so it's one of the ultimates in the like what's that phrase? There's a saying in filmmaking now about like with us, not about us, or like if ever you tell a story about a minority or someone with a disability, or you need people in the storytelling team that has lived that experience to, it's like got some ultimate, like not much research.
Yeah.
I might be wrong, but no. It doesn't feel like.
No, 100%.
It feels really like.
You get a very, very, very good feeling of this film by watching the trailer, because Zach and I did rent it on YouTube. Legitimately, there was nothing illegal. But you can watch the trailer. You get a very, very good feeling about what this movie is about.
It's just very, like, inspiring, but it's also, like, for who?
Mm.
And like, it's...
That's such a good point. It's inspiring, but who for?
Like, yeah. And, like, also...
For dads that are cunts? Like, is that their target market? Or is it for private school girls who feel a bit stuck?
I reckon it's for the Annette Bennings of the world. It's for women married to men like that.
I will say, like, I've gone a little bit of a rant, I think that Annette Bening's character was so unrelatable.
Yeah, she was a little, like...
She was so unrelatable. There was no, like, it was one of those kind of, like, woman... Sorry to go on this rant, but it was one of those kind of, like, rants. A female character written by men.
Yeah.
It's like she, like, so at the start she's with Harrison Ford for his money because who wouldn't be? He's rich and powerful. Oh my God, there's so much I wanted to say about this movie.
I'm
and
so you sorry.
You fucked
can talk.
It.
You can talk.
No, this can't be as long as Super Mario Brothers.
We've got, let's give ourselves another 15 minutes. These, I love, if you're feeling it, let's keep going.
Okay. The Annette Bening character, so his wife. Firstly, Annette Bening. Fucking love Annette Bening. Annette Bening is the, she's the tits. But this character, I couldn't relate to this character at all. At the start, she's with Harrison Ford clearly for his money. She's clearly having an affair.
Yeah.
Because she's on the phone to someone calling him baby or something like that. She's clearly having an affair because Harrison Ford's a cunt. She's also a bit of a cunt, though, because she's having an affair and, like, she just seems like a little bit, like, rolling her eyes at her life but yet still stays in that, whatever. Then he gets shot in the face and she, like, nurses him back to health or whatever and finds a new love with him because this new Harrison Ford that has, like, post-bullet to the face... is like this really lovely dude and she's like willing to give up her whole life or whatever. But then it gets revealed that she's had an affair and she feels really bad and she cries and it was just, I couldn't relate. And also she was all for sending their daughter to what looked like a shitty private school, like a boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. There's a scene right at the end, right at the end where they show the daughter at this boarding school. And I was like, oh my God, this is so unrealistic. Cause it was just like a whole bunch of girls in the same uniform with little hats and the principal like talking over them about how shit they are. And then I realized that was literally 6 years of my life.
Yeah.
It is the most realistic depiction of a private school I've ever seen because I was just like, had flashbacks to assembly where we'd all had to wear our blazers while like, you know, the vice principal told us that we're all shit cunts cause we didn't do up our top button, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Very, very realistic. Anyway, I just didn't like the writing of the Annette Bening character. I also thought it was really shit.
Love this.
I also thought it was really shit.
Yeah, go for
that,
it.
Harrison Ford, post-bullet to the face, finds out that Annette Bening was having an affair, because he's obviously forgotten his life, but finds out that Annette Bening was having an affair, and he's crushed. He runs away. He runs back to the office. He's so sad because his wife had been cheating on him before he got a bullet to the face. And then finds out that he was also sleeping with somebody, some beautiful lawyer that works... in his offices or whatever. And so he goes back to Annette Bening and says, I forgive you. Are you going to tell Annette Bening that you were also sleeping with someone else? Or is Annette Bening just going to live the rest of her life thinking that you are this wonderful godlike creature because you forgave her for having an affair when you were doing the same fucking thing with someone in your office? I thought it was shit. And we're meant to be like, oh, this relationship is so great now. No, the foundations of that relationship were incredibly unhealthy.
Mm.
I don't care if you have a bullet to your face and that you're no longer really into your money anymore, Harrison Ford, and that you have this little ethical moment when you run off and tell, like, all your secrets and your dirty lies and you have this little, like, redemption moment. What a fucking shitty thing. You find out you're having an affair. You find out that you were having an affair.
I just assumed he, like, told her later.
No, he didn't. He came in and he was
No, I just assumed that, like, he was, like, later, he was like, oh, by
I think he kept it to himself. for the rest of their lives.
He's a pretty ethical guy at this point. He probably
if he's an ethical guy, he would have walked in and said to her, "But I found out I was also sleeping with someone else. We're both in the bad. Let's try and work through this together." Instead, he was just like, I forgive you.
No,
fuck
he walks
you.
In and he does the blowfish line.
What's that?
Because that's what, I really liked that moment. But I get what you're saying. Yeah. But I really liked that moment.
What did he say to her?
So she goes, I'm a bit of a romantic. And also I don't mind underwritten females because I'm a man.
Yeah.
No, do you know, I fully agree with you. I'll talk about that moment in a second.
It was just the typical that from start to finish, the wife was holding the husband back from whatever. Mm. And I hate that. Underwritten female characters.
What's strange.
This is a perfect example of it. And I realise it was from 1991, and I will stop now.
No, you're welcome to...
This is
our podcast, Mission Zach. It's not Zach featuring me. I go on my rants. Mish, you are welcome to go on yours. And I liked it. I thought it was very articulate.
Thank you.
Here's why you were wrong. No, I'm joking. I think you're right. I think what was strange, right, was how much time was given to her character. Like, it, usually an underwritten female character is a supporting character, but she's as in it as he is.
Yes.
But it's interesting because it's like it, the yeah no.
She's literally there to push Harrison Ford up and forward.
But then in a lot of ways, like his newfound disability is there to like inspire. There's lots of like.
There's a lot you can't begrudge a film for being written in 1991.
Yeah, but you can criticize
just so
it
that
for sure.
Everyone's aware if they ever plan on watching Regarding Henry. And Annette Bening was underused in this film for what that character could have been.
Yeah, it's amazing how many great actresses don't like. It's a lot. It's funny. I remember I was talking to a guy once who was just like he was a young actor. I won't like go. It's not anyone you know. It's not. I didn't know him through our circles. It was like randomly at a party, and he was talking about. He was just like it was really gross. Actually, it was like he was like I'm sure, but he was like talking about all the great male actors, and he was like and Meryl Streep's not even that good. It was really sexist, and he was talking about how like. Everyone like pumps up Meryl Streep. I can't remember the point. I just remember like being like him saying like, you know, basically there's more good male actors than female actors. And it's like, yeah.
Who's the fuck this guy?
You wouldn't know him. I don't know him. Like it's just I remember this conversation. And I remember just being like, I think the point I made at the time was like, I think I made I said two things to him, which was like there's less space. Like there are many, 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 many more great female actors than Meryl Streep, but they just didn't get the parts, you know, and didn't get the work.
Of course, yeah.
To still be doing good stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, actually, yeah, there's like, 20 women that should be getting like parts, and Meryl Streep's only getting, but it's like there's not enough parts to go around.
Yeah.
And the other thing I said to him was like, because he loved Leonardo DiCaprio and Leo's fine. You can like, I'm not a fan of Leonardo DiCaprio as an actor, and I shouldn't be saying that because, you know, who knows what connection, you know.
Are you saying that who knows if one day you'll end up on a yacht with Leo DiCaprio while listening to the Regarding Henry episode of your small side project from 2021?
All I'll say
and
is...
And he hears that and he's like, Zach.
You never know, and I'm always a bit nervous saying anything bad about anyone.
I shat on Gretel Kleen so much.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
And that's very close to home. Like, I could see her. The chances of you meeting Leo DiCaprio are very slim.
I agree, right? But I thought that with confidence. I've said some negative things about nighttime, about certain television hosts in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's been moments where, like, it's been floated with US publicists, hey, do you want to do that show? And I've thought, fuck, what podcast do I have to take offline?
Yeah.
Okay? So I think it's always best to avoid shit-talking anyone
just in case. I don't think I'll ever work with Leonardo DiCaprio. Do not get me wrong. I'm like hoping for a John Wood at best.
Haven't you already worked with him?
Yeah. That's it. I've hit my ceiling.
Yeah, you're done.
I'm just not crazy about, like, I think that, like, kind of muscular acting, that, like, there are actors that do it great. I think Joaquin Phoenix does it amazingly.
So well.
But I think there's a lot of actors that, like, think that muscularity equals good acting, especially a lot of young actors that think, like, if they're, like, going for it, then that's good acting. And it's like, in my opinion, if you notice the acting, there's a good chance it's not good. You should walk out going, that was a great film. You should walk out going, that was a great character. If you're going, that was great acting, well, then it wasn't because you were thinking about the acting.
Ooh.
This is my opinion. I think that there are great method actors. There are great, like, intense actors, but it's...
Like your Christian Bales.
Yeah. But it's also not really my taste.
No.
Like, I think Joaquin Phoenix is so good.
Yeah, he's so good.
That I, like, get on board. But it's not my...
Nicole Kidman.
I wouldn't put Nicole Kidman in that category.
I would. I think Nicole Kidman is fucking amazing.
I think she's really good. I wouldn't put her in that category of acting, though.
It's okay. We're all entitled to our opinions, aren't we, Zach?
But no, that makes me worry I'm not describing the type of acting well enough then.
What, because I don't agree? Because we disagree on something?
No. Oh, no. No. It makes me worry that I'm not, that what I'm trying, because I don't think Nicole Kidman does what I don't think Nicole Kidman, it makes me think that I'm not describing what I'm saying I don't like well enough.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because what I don't like is, like, it's a certain masculine kind of, like,
Hugh Jackman.
No.
I'm very confused, Zach.
There's method, like...
Christian Bale,
100%.
Marlon Brando,
100%. Leonardo DiCaprio. The king of it, the big famous one, because it is my name, and...
Because of Nine, Ryan, yeah.
Hello, Nicole Kidman.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis,
method acting, like... Yeah. Like,
because it is my name!
Muscular...
John Proctor.
I'm an actor, you know, like that. Like, I don't think Hugh Jackman or Nicole Kidman do that. Like, Nicole Kidman is, like, intense, but she's not, like, Nicole Kidman doesn't.
Oh, no, I was saying that Nicole Kidman is like Joaquin Phoenix in terms of being very brilliant.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting that Nicole Kidman is anything like
this is why I continue to elaborate.
Okay, cool.
I wasn't saying we disagree. I was saying I think you'd think I'm saying something else.
All right, we're on the same page. Yeah,
I love Nicole Kidman. Yeah. I was really confused. Because it was like... We should wrap this up. I'm so sorry.
Were you suggesting that I was saying that Nicole Kidman acts like a big burly man?
So here was my journey, right? I was doing my little rant, as we do in the second hour of our pods. I was doing my little rant about Nicole Kidman. No, about, like, masculine male actors. And then you said Nicole Kidman, and then I was like, oh, I think I'm not conveying my point well enough. And then I said, I don't think I'm conveying my point well enough. And you'd just done a big speech about, like, from a real feminist perspective, and then you were like, oh, we can't disagree. And I was like, oh, no, I've said something sexist.
No, I didn't mean that. Zach isn't sexist. I want to make that really... We've talked for too long. This is what happens. This is what happens when the podcast episodes are too long, is we both say too much. Zach, how many Leguistamos do you give disregarding Henry?
Oh, yeah, I'll say it. I can't remember. What was I saying about method actors? All I want to say. I just want to finish the point at least.
You were saying how you're not a big fan of Leo.
Why was I saying that? Oh, yeah, because that cunt. Yeah. Anyway, and he loved actors like that. He was like, Leo's the best actor in the world. He was like, Leo's the best actor in the world.
And the cunt that was like, women suck. And
yeah, he was like, he's the best actor in the world. And I was like, oh, clearly you have a very particular idea of what good acting is, and we fundamentally disagree on that. And if your perception of acting is tied to masculinity, then of course you are going to think that men are better actors, but you're wrong, dude. because, like, imagine Nicole Kidman coming into a room and being like, I'm Virginia Woolf! Oh, yeah!
I didn't mean that. Okay, we're on the same page.
Anyway, so that was my point. That's what I said to him. I said that. I said another thing about that. But I was just saying, you've just raised a really interesting point that I wish I'd made to that boy 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is, on top of that, they didn't have as, like, they're working with shitter writing.
Yeah, so many female actors were built to build up the male characters.
Like, they've gotten, they don't have the...
What's the arc? Yeah.
They don't have the words to say, so it's, of course...
And when
not...
they finally do put a woman in a protagonist situation, like Whispers in the Dark, which was only made a year later, they just make her really horny and naked the whole time.
Or a man. They just, like they do...
Make her horny like a boy.
Make her horny like a boy. Yeah, they just write themselves. Yeah, it's very true. Or they're violent. They kill a lot of people.
For the love of God.
Two Leguizamo.
Yeah, same. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. That one was fucked. This episode was fucked.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.